Good day, I'm Jackie Judd, and this is Checking In with Tom Daschle. The former Senate Majority Leader, who was a key behind-the-scenes player during the health care reform debate, has written a book about how Democrats managed to do what generations of politicians before could not. The book is Getting It Done. Welcome, Senator Daschle.
Thank you, Jackie. Good to be with you again.
That title might well have been very different had a few events been different. Anybody who followed the day-to-day coverage of this knew how close a battle it was. You had this great insider perspective. Was there a point where you thought the Democrats might have had to fold the tent?
Jackie, there were three or four times throughout that process that I would call near-death experiences, experiences where we really thought that it would take a real effort to resuscitate the effort and to find some way to get us to the next step. That happened as late as a couple of days before Christmas last year. So, yes, there were some times when we were biting our nails and crossing our fingers and doing everything we could to make
sure
that we got
the
job
done. What was
the
lowest of the low points? Was it after Scott Brown was elected?
I think that was one of the low points. Right after the August recess with all the negative town hall meetings was another. There was a time when it really did look like we couldn't reach consensus between the House and the Senate. The Scott Brown election, that was really one of the low points as well in terms of prospects for getting the legislation passed. So, as I said, several times when it looked pretty precarious.
We've seen some of the difficulties of implementation already. The Department of Health and Human Services recently granted waivers to about 30 companies, insurers, unions, because some of them said that if we had to meet these immediate minimum requirements, we might not be able to offer our employees continued health care. So they made concessions. Does that worry you? Is it some unraveling of what Congress and the president had intended to do?
Well, I think I tell people all the time that I think there are three P's that we have to be cognizant of. Preparation for the 10 years of implementation that go forward. Partnership. It's really important to be partners with Congress, with the states, and with the stakeholders. And the final P is pragmatism. We've got to be pragmatic. And I think that the Department of Health and Human Services and the White House today is demonstrating that pragmatism. Are we doing everything that I wish we could? Probably not. But are we doing enough to put us in a position to keep building and extending and expanding as we go forward? Absolutely. So the pragmatism, the partnership, and the preparation I've seen so far is certainly within the realm of my expectations.
It doesn't worry you at all about what may lie ahead, because certainly it seems that if these 30 first in got waivers, there will be other people knocking at the door. There are about 100 other waiver requests in the pipeline.
Well, I think you have to take each one on their own. I would be concerned if every waiver that came along was accepted. I don't think that's going to be the case. I think what the White House and those who are in charge of implementation are doing is trying to find that balance between the perfect and the good, between the pragmatic and the idealistic. And I think they're trying to work through each one of these stages one step at a time. And I give them high marks for what they've done so far.
Do you know yet, could you say, where you would draw the line?
Well, I would say so far I think they've drawn the line reasonably closely to where I would come down. I think it's pretty hard to second guess each one of these decisions without knowing all the facts and without fully appreciating just what went into that particular decision. But I will say, Jackie, I think what's really important is to keep this process moving forward with some expectation that we're going to come back, revisit a lot of these questions as time goes on, and continue to improve and build upon what we've just done and decided so far.
The other piece of this, though, the implementation piece that you express a lot of worry about in the book, is how the states will manage this. And certainly we've seen some evidence for people who support healthcare reform to be worried, the lawsuits, the ballot initiatives, et cetera. Where do you think some of this pushback will lead? And is it possible that some of this pushback will actually make it a better plan?
Well, I think that you have to expect pushback. I mean, we've seen that with virtually every piece of major social legislation to come along. Alf Landon in 1936 campaigned for president on the promise that he would repeal Social Security. That rings very relevant today with all the promises you hear from some who are running for public office about health care reform. So pushback is to be expected. I think in the give and take of politics and public policy making, however, I think it's important to ask, what's the alternative? What do we do if we don't do this? And can we come up with a better way? No one claims to have the right answer or the right solution right down the line in each one of the questions involving public policy and health today, in this legislation and this act. But I think at the end of the day, the question is, how do we find ways to improve it, not repeal it? We know the status quo is unacceptable. We know that we can't do what we were doing for the last 20 years without serious repercussions regarding cost, access, and quality. We've got to find ways to make this better, and I think this legislation is a good framework to do so.
Of all the kind of pushback that we're seeing at this moment, what worries you the most? Is it the Florida lawsuit that involves the 20 states, the Virginia case that's being heard this week, the decision a couple of weeks ago in Michigan, I believe, the ballot initiatives? What piece of it do you keep you up at night?
Well, there are three major threats. There's the legal threat, and I'm not too concerned about that. I think we've already seen one decision in Michigan. I'm very hopeful that as we go through the courts and the legal process that we're going to continue to be sustained, and I have reasonable confidence that we will be. I'm not too worried about repeal efforts because I don't think those will go anywhere. I do think defunding is a very serious threat, and we have to be concerned about that. And then I'm concerned about implementation. You know, we're electing 37 governors in this cycle. Those governors are going to have a lot to say with regard to the enthusiasm and the success of implementation because so much of what happens is going to happen at the state level. Now, we have, as you know, a fallback position where the federal government can step in if the states don't do what the law requires. And so that fallback gives me some confidence that we're going to have continuity with implementation. But all three of those levels, in varying degrees, are of concern today.
Okay, thank you very much, Tom Daschle, author of Getting It Done. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.